This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
All righty, welcome back in on this Tuesday morning. A lot of big stories that we're covering. Of course, the biggest is our overall grand champion, and that was David Thames. You know, I know a David Thames. He is the biggest Auburn fan I know, but this is not that David Thames. We used to call him Larry when he called the show.
But Larry the loser?
Yeah, but this is a different one, and he chimed in this morning and was very, very excited. He's a big listener to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And, Barry, I don't have the final count. I know we're well into the thousands of our participants, our contestants, but of all the thousands and thousands of the people that entered, David Thames was the winner.
That's exactly right. Wins a $500 voucher from the Montgomery Regional Airport, and congratulations to him. And we move seamlessly from that into the Masters contest online at sportsradio740.com. We're going to give you, you know, some breakdown of that, maybe help you out a little bit. But we figured now would be a good time to go to a scratch golfer who knows the intricacies of the game and see what Travis Ryer has got for us from BamaOnline.com in terms of a sleeper pick to win at Augusta National.
Yeah,
this
definitely. Our man Travis Ryer, BamaOnline.com, on our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline. I will mention this, Travis.
Mm-hmm.
Our grand champion in our bracket contest, and we had over 2,000 entries from what Barry tells me. I don't know the final tally. But David had a winning percentage of, what was it, Barry?
78%.
78% in the bracket. That's pretty impressive, Travis, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, with the way things sort of played out in that second weekend especially. You know, all I had was the winner of the tournament by the end of the tournament. I didn't have much else in my bracket. It was pretty much decimated at the end of that second weekend. So that's pretty impressive.
Well, got so many questions to ask you about. Had kind of a long weekend at Alabama in terms of spring practice, and they got a scrimmage coming up and all that. It's really a spread out schedule in terms of the calendar itself, Travis. Good thing or a bad thing for this football team?
You know, I don't know. Yeah, you know, probably a non-factor at the end of the day. It is different. There's no doubt about that. This is a busy week. They'll go four times this week. They had only gone five times combined in the previous 2 weeks. So it's definitely different. I'll put it that way. You know, I guess there's a couple different ways to look at it. When you spread it out like this a little bit, maybe more, it keeps the players at least in that mode for a longer period of time in terms of their mindset. But probably not a huge factor either way.
Travis, I see where Coach Saban made a positive comment, or he seems to feel very positive about the running back spot. Kind of hard to argue. There's a lot of depth and a lot of talent there. How is Bo Scarborough doing?
You know, watching him yesterday in the individual drills, he looked to be moving well, actually. He was doing a lot of the agility work and didn't seem to be missing much at all. He's still in that black non-contact jersey, but again, he and B.J. Emmons, who are both in non-contact status right now, were able to pretty much do everything in those footwork drills that were pretty stressful when you consider that both those guys are coming off injuries to the lower extremities. So I would say he's right on track. It may be as much precautionary this spring with Bo Scarborough as anything else, but the luxury they have right now is that they certainly have plenty of talented guys to work with, and probably gives them more of an opportunity to see what some of these young guys can do.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to ask you, with that opportunity, what would you guess would be the role that Najee Harris plays in the spring and in the fall and during the season, if any?
I think he'll have an opportunity to be in that mix. You know, it's not as easy as I think some people maybe think it will be. Because I think there are guys like Josh Jacobs in that rotation that are more than capable of doing some really good things. A guy who is a true freshman, Jacobs, averaged 6.7 yards per carry and over 11 yards per reception. So it's hard to look at Najee Harris at 6'2", 227 pounds or so, and a guy who moves as well as he does at that size and think, oh, he's headed for a red shirt. I don't think that at all. But there are obstacles in his way to, you know, an extensive role. You know, you're still going to get Bo Scarborough, a healthy Bo Scarborough anyway, his carries. Now, Damian Harris is a third-year back now, coming off a 1,000-yard season. I mentioned Jacobs. You know, and Brian Robinson is another impressive freshman in his own right. So a lot of competition at that spot. But there are guys, when you see them for the first time, that strike you as different and unique. And I'd say Najee Harris definitely qualifies for that sort of title.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of buzz around Najee, but you're right, Travis. There's a lot of depth and, you know, some guys that maybe fans aren't thinking so much about. It seems like everybody talks about Damian Harris and Bo Scarborough, but as you just mentioned, there's a couple other guys that have done very well and want to continue to do so.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of Josh Jacobs. I really am, because I think he's got that combination of make you miss, but also power and able to pick up extra yards after contact, that you know, makes him very valuable. And he proved to be as a very good receiver as a true freshman. That's something that gets overlooked. Not a lot of young backs come in here. Derrick Henry comes to mind instantly when I think about this, capable of contributing in the passing game. And it's not just in terms of as a receiver, but in pass protection as well. And I thought Jacobs provided a strong account of himself last year in those areas too.
Travis Ryer is with us, BamaOnline.com. Is Sean Dion Hamilton still wearing the black jersey, and will he continue to wear the black jersey throughout spring? Will he get any work?
He is. You know, at this point, I would probably be a little bit surprised if we see him in contact situations. Maybe he will. You know, on A-Day, you know, we've seen guys participate in the spring game in black non-contact jerseys. I think Kenyon Drake did it a couple of years ago, as a matter of fact, as a running back. So, you know, I wouldn't say it's a definite that he's out for anything resembling contact work this spring, but it would make sense to hold him out for sure. He's a veteran player. You know that, you know, you've got enough documented production from him this past season, especially to know that he's capable of playing at a very high level. And he's a guy you're counting on to really help you run the show on the defensive side of the ball in 2017. So, you know, maybe we see him late in spring in some form or fashion in scrimmage-type work. But right now he's pretty much to the side working with Jeff Allen, the athletic trainer, and trying to get that ACL back to where it needs to be.
I see where Coach Saban also mentioned Miller Forrestall yesterday. He said he's gotten bigger and stronger and is more O.J. Howard-like. I saw O.J. last Tuesday night here in Montgomery, and I thought, wow, O.J.'s gotten bigger, particularly his upper body. If Forrestall's gotten as big and strong as O.J. Howard, they might not miss a beat there at the tight end.
Yeah, I think in terms of catching the football, Miller has a chance to be right there at that level with O.J. You know, Forrestall was a guy in high school that they used basically as a wide receiver. I think he had over 50 catches his senior year in high school, and came in here last year at this time and caught 8 passes in his first A-Day game. So from that standpoint, it's been pretty well known that the guy can get the job done. It's been more about strength and bulk and adding some weight. He's done that at a nice pace, really, since he's gotten here. So I think physically he's in a good place to be able to contribute maybe more of that H-back role that you saw from O.J. last year with Hale Hinchis, more of a traditional inline tight end. Irv Smith Jr. is another young tight end that they really like a lot, a guy who can do both the H-back stuff and the traditional tight end work as well. So I think they've got 3 tight ends they feel really good about, but I'd say the top receiving option of the 3 right now would be Miller Forrestall.
Plugging in Trayvon Diggs, you know, he can do a lot of different things. They've asked him to do a lot of different things early in his career. Has he kind of settled into that cornerback position? Does that look like a foregone conclusion now for him?
We're getting pretty deep into it by spring position experiment standards, I guess you could say. It's 6 practices in, and he's still working with the corners, and You know, he's a guy that can do it. I think if as much as anything, if he's entirely sold on defense, he can definitely do it. And it's more of a concern for beyond this year, I would say, as much as anything, because you know, you're going to lose Anthony Averett. You're going to lose Tony Brown. It's a real strong possibility.
Minka.
You're going to lose Minka Fitzpatrick. But, you know, they need depth at corner for sure. They need a sort of third slash fourth corner to emerge. And that's an area where he could certainly help. Now, you know, he's very good with the ball in his hands too. But they have recruited extremely well at wide receiver. Obviously with Jerry Jeudy coming in here as a mid-year early enrollee, helps that situation. Tyrell Shavers coming in as well at 6'6". You got Cam Sims back. So depth right now at wide receiver kind of frees you up to do this with Diggs. But again, as much as anything, I think it'll come down to, you know, how sold he is on, you know, corner being his best option or defensive back in general being his best option in terms of the big picture.
Travis Ryer joining us from BamOnline.com. We've touched on this, but I'm going to ask you about it again because someone has texted us this question on our River Region Straw text hotline about the running backs. And basically, our texter asks, please ask Travis, how in the world are they going to handle six running backs, all of whom expect to get the ball this fall? In reading that text, Travis, could Najee Harris or others get redshirted? I mean, certainly that seems to be possible.
I think it's possible. Again, I would be surprised if Najee Harris is a guy that takes a redshirt. And you got to remember, too, when you look at special teams, running backs are a big part of core special teams units, whether it's covering kicks or returning kicks or covering punts. You know, I think a lot of those guys are going to show up in the kicking game, if nothing else, and then sort of mix them in, you know, into the running back situation as well.
I wish I would have been there for this, Travis. I understand that when Saban walked into the media gathering yesterday, he asked the media, could he get a little cooperation so he didn't end up on ESPN? I mean, doesn't he love to be on ESPN?
I don't think it bothers him all that much, really. But especially when he feels like he's got a statement he wants to get across, mm-hmm. which, you know, is about once every couple of 3 weeks. So he's developed a sense of humor about that stuff. And during the early years of Nick, you know, didn't have the comfort level, I would say, with the guys and gals around here to sort of go there like that. But it's definitely a different Nick. 11 years later, I guess, than it was in 2007.
He seemed pretty happy when he went through the Chick-fil-A drive-thru with Miss Terry earlier and got a photo of it. Had a big grin on his face.
I guess everybody loves him some Chick-fil-A.
Oh, man, you know, well, Chick-fil-A ought to love Alabama as much as they've gone over and played in that event. Barry, the River Region Straw text hotline is blowing up this morning. I don't know if it is on your end, but, boy, here comes another one.
Uh-huh. Let's see. Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy, number four. Somebody wants to know about him. Will he play this fall as a true freshman?
I think there's a very good chance. Again, he's a guy that when you look at him, he looks a lot like Calvin Ridley already, just in a number four jersey instead of a number three to one of those South Florida guys like Calvin Ridley, like Amari Cooper. They've tapped into a very nice wide receiver pipeline from down there in South Florida, and he has all the physical attributes, without a doubt, to contribute as a true freshman. It's going to be, you know, more about whether or not some of these veterans, is Robert Foster ready to get back to where he was a couple of seasons ago in 2015 when he was a starter early in that season at wide receiver, had sort of a forgettable season last year. But the change at coordinator could be a good thing for Robert Foster, a former five-star in his own right. You know, Cam Sims is still around, a veteran who knows what to do, a pretty good athlete as well, and can play the multiple spots that they have in that offense at wide receiver. So, you know, just in terms of sheer ability and talent, and especially with Diggs getting a look over on defense right now, I'd say the path to playing time is pretty clear for Jerry Jeudy as a true freshman.
Another question comes our way from our River Region Straw Text Hotline. It says, ask Travis, since it's been about 3 months since Alabama has gotten a football commitment, are you any bit concerned about Alabama's recruiting efforts and the lack of buzz among five-star players? This is from Bama for Life. I think there's like 3,000 people out there that go by the term Bama for Life.
And have their license plate the same way, too. You know, I don't think 10 or 11 years into this with Saban, I wouldn't panic if it was probably January the 20th, 2 weeks before signing day, and they were sitting in the spot they're in now and in early April, the spring before signing day. So, you know, I think they'll be okay. You know, the track record seems to indicate that at the end of the day, they'll somehow pull together a recruiting class that is solid. But, you know, it is a little different this year. You know, and sometimes you wonder if that isn't by design in terms of the evaluation process. We still haven't gotten to the May evaluation period. They obviously like to bring a lot of kids on campus before they make offers in the summer for the camp season. You know, there's still some guys that they're very much involved with and are going to be, like Christian Tutt, a cornerback from Thompson, Georgia, Jalen Cunningham, a defensive tackle from Odenville, Alabama. I mean, there's plenty of guys that they're in good shape with. They just maybe haven't wrapped up commitments with to this point. But, yeah, I think Nick Saban and his staff will. They'll get the job done somehow at the end.
And one thing to remember, they're not going to be able to sign a full complement this year.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers, it's looking more like low 20s this year, maybe around 20. And, you know, they already have a gray shirt, four-star, and Jerez Parks, you know, remember from signing day, that whole ordeal of an outside linebacker defensive end fight from Florida. That they have and secured. So, yeah, the numbers dictate that, you know, some years are different than others. But I think in terms of quality, they'll still put together a really good class.
Well, one more, and, of course, we don't want to get into this trend because we, of course, are broadcast professionals, can come up with our own questions. But one more from the River Region Strong Text Hotline. Southern Fried Sports, weekdays 11 until noon. Online listening, is that possible, Travis?
Yeah, it is, and I appreciate the question. Tide1029.com is where you can hear that. You know, it's an hour show, so it's kind of quick. But, yeah, you can catch us there at Tide1029.com at 11 a.m. every weekday morning.
Man.
A cavalcade of information and compelling programming, to be sure. Likewise at BamaOnline.com. You got a lot you're covering these days, Travis. How do people access all of that information?
Thanks, guys. Just go to BamaOnline.com or Alabama.247sports.com. Either way will get you to us.
Man, great stuff as always, Travis. We greatly appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, guys.